There we go. Press the right button. Hey, thank you, Kane. 807 FM Talk 1065 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Glad to have you here. Sean, Kelly, Dalton, Dr. Bill, that guy Kane, and y'all at 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through on the text line and on the phone line. One number works both ways. So if you want to send us a message, that's fine. We'd love to hear your voice. We can do that as well. And phone number, the same for both, 343-0106. A couple things I want to toss out there this morning. Number one, it is Cyber Monday, but let's talk about the roots of Cyber Monday. It's been around since 2005.
That was over a decade ago.
Right. National Retail Federation created it. And what I think is interesting is they created it, and the idea was that in 05, people had pretty slow dial-up to some degree. Wasn't it dial-up back in 05, probably?
Yeah, for sure.
You've got
dial-up
mail.
They had dial-up and slower internet. It's funny how fast things have changed. But at work, they often had a little faster. Now, compared to what we're used to these days, it would all be slow. But the internet at work was faster. And the idea was that, hey, you had these special deals that went on Cyber Monday. Mm-hmm. So when people got back in, they had gone shopping, physically gone shopping, not online, on Black Friday. I don't know that Small Business Saturday was even around in 05. So they were just doing whatever shopping, like people used to do, like go to stores and buy things. They were doing that, and then the National Retail Federation said, hey, we could do one better. Let's let them go to work and use their bosses and computers there to be able to log in and buy stuff online.
Their Wi-Fi.
Yeah, let's incentivize this by offering a few deals. So that started in 05. Here it is now in 2018. It's this thing that you're like, oh, I guess it's always been Cyber Monday. No, it's not always been Cyber Monday. Amazon.com is probably, think about how they have grown in that period of time and how key they are to this and the growth of Cyber Monday. Here are some of the stats. I know you were talking about this earlier. Cyber Monday this year is expected to be the largest online shopping day in history. Of course, this is just like saying it's the biggest travel day. Of course, there's more of us.
Pack your patience.
Yes, thank you. Cyber Monday expected to generate $7.8 billion in sales, more than a 17% increase from the previous year, according to Adobe Analytics, which tracks online sales. I will say this, that you have the drive of technology and more people, but you also have a better economy, right? So people feel better in their situation and they're spending more money. The Gap, by the way, they still were around. The Gap, which is struggling.
The Gap.
Well,
the Gap.
They're Old Navy's cousin.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. The Gap, which is struggling, is offering 50% off every item today, plus an additional 10% on online specials and free shipping.
I was a Gap loving child growing up. Oh my goodness!
We didn't have it here in Mobile.
That's people had galore.
I knew people would travel and go to a place called the Gap, but because it was not Tough Skins, it was not on. My family didn't buy that for me. It was Sears for me.
So Old Navy was kind of like the remake of the Gap, but cheaper prices.
Okay.
Okay. And so
Old Navy seems to be doing pretty good,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, because of what they're consistently. Their marketing campaign is phenomenal. It really is.
They seem to be bridging the gap.
I like what you did.
Cyber Monday makes sense because you get a long weekend. You get your Thanksgiving weekend where you spend it with family. And I know a lot of people probably want to get away from the family on that Friday after a full Thanksgiving day with some family members. Maybe you don't want to spend some time with. But for a lot of people who actually like spending time with their family, I'm sure they'd prefer to spend that Thanksgiving break with the family hanging out around the house. Mm-hmm. And then Monday, the last thing you want to do after a long weekend is come back into work and actually do work, like do things for your boss.
Right.
So what better time to actually shop
goof off
than when you're on the clock?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the number. They say, it's $7.8 billion in shopping. I wish we got the lost productivity statistics like we do for
bracket time.
Yeah, bracket time.
March Madness.
I wonder how much of that $7.8 billion is actually for gifting. I wonder how much is actually spent personally on
buying stuff for yourself.
Buying stuff for yourself, because you know the
rest—it's not all of it. It's only about $7 billion of the 7.8 billion is spent on people.
0.8 billion is in gifts. Right. But all year, maybe you want something, and the price is just a little too high, and you feel a little guilty spending money on yourself for something. But then when Cyber Monday or Black Friday come along, and the thing you've wanted all year is marked down to the lowest price it'll ever be, I imagine a lot of people are buying things for themselves first.
Yeah, and then you send it to the person you need to have them give it to you on Christmas.
Right.
So, but I mean, you mentioned the people shopping online and spending time with family. Come on, let's talk about what's real. If people are stuck inside, right, inside sitting, watching a game or whatever things, you can be on your smartphone. People are shopping. I watch it in our family. It's not like you say, okay, now here's the time that I'm going to dedicate to cyber shopping. No, they're talking. They're eating seconds. Uh-huh. They're looking at things.
Well, and to the savvy shoppers, I will tell you that if you purchase something and it was full price and then you see it on sale, you know, you can take your receipt back and they will honor the difference, just so you know.
Mm.
I think it's very interesting. I'm looking at in my inbox right now of how the different companies
how many people
like, to get your attention. Let's see. Cyber Monday, our best online offer of the year. Our biggest sale of the year. What's going on this week at your local store?
Yeah.
Today only. Free gift plus 25% off. For you, Cyber Monday blowout. Serious savings you don't want to miss. Yeah. Cyber Monday doorbusters are here. It's here.
What door? The virtual door?
It's here. 25% off for Cyber Monday. BOGO free multi-packs. That's for underwear. It's very weird.
Well, okay. So, I mean, getting...
free shipping, free bacon, and skillet.
Sign me up.
When?
Cyber Monday.
I see lots of free shipping. I've not seen free bacon.
Bacon. And then there's Old Navy. Everything is 50% off because it's Cyber Monday. Tell your bus you're WFH.
Hmm.
I don't know that yet.
Probably.
I'm like, that ain't cool.
Looking at some of the other Kohl's. Do we have a Kohl's around here?
We do.
Okay,
yes.
So I'm like, y'all
Kohl's
gotta remember.
Bucks are everything.
Okay, well, it says here you get $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent.
Kohl's bucks.
Best Buy is offering discounts. Let's see, Target. It's offering 15% off JCPenney. Listen, assume that everybody out there that's got a website is offering some kind of discount today out there. So it is Cyber Monday. But also, as you engage in this, realize that it's something created by the National Retail Federation, which is not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. We believe in buying things in this economy. That's good. But it was created in 05, and it was this idea that people would go to work. This is what I think is interesting. People would go to work and use the business internet that was a lot better than what they had at home. That's why they had it on this Monday. But now it's the week, and people can do it from their phone or whatever. So it's not like you have to go. You use your own phone. Don't use the boss's.
With the year-over-year growth of online shopping and how much money goes into it, and the states are really paying attention now, especially Alabama over the last couple of years.
Sales tax, man.
They see that $7.8 billion that's going to be spent on Cyber Monday and know that each state wants to get their cut of the money that's heading to Amazon or heading to Walmart or wherever it's heading. So
you know how that works, right? So you get when everybody wets their beak here, because as of October 1st, right, we have the enforcement of the online sales tax. Now, the state gets some. The municipalities get some at different percentages. We'll talk about that coming up. Who gets the bigger cut of that? Also, Trouble with the Border. We'll get into that and your phone calls at 343-0106. Yourself too. Is that straight from the video that had Aldo Nova shooting a laser out of his guitar and blowing up the lock there on the warehouse? You'd be correct. It is. I think I'm most excited about news of the Carnival Fantasy because it gives me an excuse to play some Aldo Nova. That's it.
What's better, laser guitar or laser cats?
Oh, man, why would you challenge me like that? It's hard. I would say laser cats.
Both.
Laser cats. But I do love laser guitar, but laser cats. Just a slight lead on that. All right, 822 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings, and glad to have you here on the Cyber Monday, talking a little bit about the history of Cyber Monday, but a lot of other stories to get into. But Dalton, you brought up the money, and that's the way you always got to look at this, right? State of Alabama, Alabama Department of Revenue, set this up. It was voted on, finally went into action October 1st, collecting online sales tax as of, I guess, this year in October was 1 year. We've been doing it 1 year.
Okay.
Right, yeah, 1 year. So it's October 1st of 2017. Even though in the past, reminder, you were supposed to remit a check to the state. You remember
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to tally up your online sales and then cut a check to the State Department of Treasury.
Scouts honor.
Yes, Scouts honor, which I'm sure we all did. But then they made a law. They moved. Remember, they said they were picking a certain number of unnamed online retailers that were going to be in compliance, but they wouldn't tell you what it was back then. It is this: if you have more than $250,000 in sales in the state, that's when the state focuses on those companies to get them to collect the sales tax.
Yeah, just off the top, I'm thinking Amazon, Walmart, and Yeti. Those three probably easily over $250,000 in Alabama.
Yeah, a day with Yeti. That's like seven coolers. The way this works here is, so the money comes in from these people through the Simplified Sellers Use Tax Program, and then it goes to the state. It's a they can either collect it by county, city, state, or the online retailers can do a flat 8% sales tax. Okay, and then that is what is remitted to the state. And then the other part of this, though, is municipalities then get some cut of this action as well, dependent on where the sale was made. So, you know, like everything, if it's the lodging tax, if it's the sales tax, I mean, like we've talked about so many times with the BP money, the state has a cut, but the state only gets a cut, of course, when a specific place within the state, someone does that business. So what is their share? This will come up too, y'all. I know this sounds like we're talking Cyber Monday, because we are, but this will come up too in session this year when they're talking about the gas tax.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to talk about raising the gas tax, and then it'll be, okay, so you raise this much money with the gas tax. Does it all go to Montgomery? Does Mobile, the city of Mobile, get a cut? How much is our cut? How much is Mobile County's cut?
Mm-hmm.
What is Baldwin County's cut? What's Gulf Shores' cut? That's going to be, and you'll have this battle, I think, shaping up where the rural areas of the state that aren't going to be as big a contributors to the sales tax or the gas tax money are going to want to get their cut. And the municipalities are going to say, hey, that gas is being purchased here. They're riding our roads. We want to keep that money.
And, you know, Alabama, we always talk about Alabama being the last of the states to pick up on something,
yes,
you know, whether it's last in gambling. Which,
sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
Yeah, but when it comes to sales tax, actually one of the first states to jump in on this wave of collecting online sales tax, because I would have assumed that most states already had this in action where they're collecting the online sales tax, but it won't be until January that over 30 states will start collecting sales tax. Back on October 1st, like you said, with Alabama and 10 more states went live, and then 11 more planning to start doing it by January, but still a lot of states out there that aren't collecting the sales tax yet.
Well, we are so hyper-dependent on sales tax in Alabama, though.
I was going to say, and I don't think it's a coincidence that this follows, you know, Small Business Saturday. You know, when you think about the theme of this entire, what used to be one day, Cyber Monday, now becomes Cyber Week, which will soon
become... Everybody wants their day, Kelly.
I know that. Soon it's going to become a two-week name. You know that, right? And then
yes,
it'll go to three, and then it'll be the entire month type deal. So, you know, the small business owners, I mean, if you're going to leave the mom-and-pop stores and shop online, they're trying to make it more balanced. They want to be able to...
I am for... Well, I joke about the state and its sales tax grab because it's easy. It's low-hanging fruit. What I want in the marketplace is, yeah, I prefer local businesses. We are a local business. And but at the same time, I just want to make sure playing field's even.
As long as
the mom-and-pop stores or local stores or regional stores have to collect that sales tax on their item, so do the online retailers. And then at that point, the business is business. You know, I mean, when people say, well, it's unfair, well, I mean, you've been saying that in the American economy a long time. Things change. Yeah. As long as you have an even playing field, then that's what I want for the local businesses. And that point on, then they can do things to make themselves more competitive. I know working growing up, at a local outdoor show or outdoor store, they worked with other outdoor stores to form a cartel. And I think there's probably this happens in other businesses, but at that point it was Walmart coming in, dropping prices on outdoors gear way low, making it tough to sell. Well, they would get groups of locally owned, independent stores to buy together.
Oh, that's smart.
And they could buy at the same level that Walmart or whatever big box store would and get the same deals,
see,
and that's how
teamwork,
they would do it.
That teamwork goes a long way with
even though they might be competitors
doing.
Somewhat,
right.
they made sure that they could get the deals by buying in volume. Sometimes there'd be arguments, oh, we're going to buy this many of these fishing rods or this many of that, mm-hmm. but they had to get to some agreement, and they buy it in bulk and then distribute it among the stores, and they would get the same deal, so that was a competitive way. And what I want is just an even, open marketplace, and after that, how the game's played, roll the dice.
Yeah, and I was just going to add is that, you know, these days, I mean, you work so hard, you spend so many hours at work. When it comes time to spending your money, you want people to you want them to compete for you, mm-hmm. right? You want them to vie for your business and be appreciative, and it's really hard if you have a major company that's offering something at such a discounted rate and you want to support local, but you have a family to feed and you
right.
have bills to pay, and so you just hope that it becomes more balanced.
And once it does, then I think people, if you make it, there's two things, though. Even with the collection of sales tax and those deals not being as big a discount as others, still the online retailers do quite well. And I think that is because there is a change with people that the idea of getting off their duff and going out to a store mm-hmm. is just one thing too many. I'm sorry, but I think, and I'm a big proponent, we'll talk more about it next month with local businesses. I'm a shopper there. But there's a lot of people that may pay the same price or even a little bit more for the convenience.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the stories we have that, what is it now that Amazon's delivering your Christmas tree
mm-hmm.
to your house? You buy it online. People don't want to leave their house. And by the way, the reason I play that Aldo Nova, somebody was asking at the beginning, there's a press conference at 10:30. Mayor Sandy Simpson said he'll make an announcement about the future of the Carnival Fantasy. So that's Aldo Nova's song Fantasy in the cruise ship.
Does it take you back to Fantasy Island, though? The plane.
Oddly enough, I made a reference this weekend to that. I did a boss, the plane to plane. All right, let's go to the phones. And Wayne is in Saraland. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, good morning, guys. I hope y'all had a very happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too, man.
I did. I ate way too much. I'm still just now coming out of my food coma.
Good. We're glad to have you still with us.
Yes, sir. Hey, wanted to talk to you about the SSUT.
Okay.
And the inequity that Montgomery has created. You mentioned the 8% flat tax.
Mm-hmm.
Now, up until this year, it was voluntary. Retailers did not have to do it. It was strictly voluntary. They are mm-hmm. making it mandatory if you do over $1 million. Somebody said $250,000.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. The story said $250,000. You're saying it's $1 million.
It's $1 million that they have to do in the state. Now, here's how Montgomery looks out for the municipalities in the state of Alabama. The regular sales tax, if you buy something in the state of Alabama, the state of Alabama gets 4 cents.
Okay.
Okay. In the SSUT, the state of Alabama gets 4 cents.
Okay.
They're getting every penny that they would get, whereas municipalities like Mobile, who has a 5 cent local sales tax, they're getting two. Saraland's getting two.
Okay.
But here's the thing. They take all of the dollars that are spent online retailers in the state of Alabama, and then that sales tax money that comes in, they base it on population. So the little town up in York, Alabama, that would get $2 on every 100,
uh-huh.
they're probably getting about 4 cents, because Birmingham and Mobile and Huntsville and Montgomery are getting a chunk of what they should be getting because of the population base.
Do you think that's, and we only have like 20 seconds here left, but is that equitable in your opinion?
No, sir. Absolutely not. No.
There we go. Wayne, thanks for the heads up and the education on that. We'll talk more about this when we return. Phone number 343-0106. Also getting some text on this. We'll talk about those when we come back. Right, 836 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Maybe that's a delicate gift to give, but maybe the right gift to give for somebody. The service of having 1-800-GOT-JUNK come to their house and get rid of the junk. Trying to get organized, trying to get some room for family and friends to be able to, you know, spread out during a Christmas party, or if they come over to your house for one of the Christmas meals or Christmas Eve, whatever it is, you got to get the junk out of your house. Trey, my buddy, and his crew can do that. They can also do that at your office. They can do it. I got a storage unit story on the way in a second. Ooh. You can do it at a storage unit. They could do it at a house you're trying to get ready to sell. Wherever it is, maybe you're an office that's gone completely digital, and for some reason you still have 1,200 to 1,300 pounds worth of giant metal file cabinets in your business. Maybe that's Bigler Broadcasting. You can get those babies gone and get them done quickly. Whatever the junk is, listen, you want to get it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. National company, but locally owned franchise by my buddy Trey, working in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Give him a call today, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Also want to get this in. I got a lot of things I don't want to miss here. Washington Post published their winning submissions to their neologism contest. In other words, new words.
That's a new word for me.
So, yeah, there's a double times two. what they do is the readers supply alternate meanings for common words. This has been funny over the years. Number one on this list, coffee, which is the person upon whom one coughs. Coffee. Flabbergasted. Appalled.
I love that word.
Appalled over how much weight you've gained. Flabbergasted. we'll stick with that. Abdicate. I love this. To give up all hope of ever having a flat stomach. That would be abdicate. Esplanade.
She is me. Hear me roar.
Esplanade. To attempt an explanation while drunk. To esplanade. Willy nilly.
Dilly Dilly's cousin.
Impotent.
Same.
I love it.
Willy nilly. Negligent. Describes a condition in which you absentmindedly answer the door in your nightgown. That would be negligent. Lymph. No, it's not lymph node anymore. Lymph. To walk with a lisp. That's to lymph.
I think you'll say limp biscuit or something.
Gargoyle. A gross olive flavored mouthwash. Mm. Balderdash. A rapidly receding hairline. Flatulence. Emergency vehicle that picks you up after you're run over by a steamroller. That's the flatulence, not the ambulance, but the flatulence. Rectitude, the formal, dignified bearing adopted by proctologist. That would be rectitude.
You should have warned people before they took that bite of oatmeal.
They're sticking with two proctologist jokes in a row. Number 12 on their list, Pokemon.
Uh-oh.
A Rastafarian proctologist.
Oh my gosh! With the hat on, with the braids coming out.
That would be Pokemon. And then can I do this one? Well, it's the end of the year. If I get fired, I mean, I'm probably pretty good to circumvent an opening in the front of boxer shorts worn by Jewish men. Circumvent.
You are so in trouble for
circumvent.
That one.
Those are good.
So those are some of the lists they have out. New definitions. I said I had a story about the storage unit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've asked you 10 times about the Storage Wars show. I think I've seen, like, once or twice, and I'm trying to figure it out. Storage Wars star Dan Dotson. Am I supposed to know this guy?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen that show before. We have our in-studio Storage Wars expert. He's actually not in-studio right now. He's back in the back. But I still haven't seen a Storage Wars. Well, I know what you're talking about, though.
Okay, so we'll listen up in the back there. Dan Dotson, not like Dotson, like the old name for the trucks, but Dotson. Dan Dotson recently sold off a storage unit for $500. Okay, you think, oh, wow, made some money. Problem was, inside that storage unit was $7.5 million in cash.
Oh!
The money was inside a safe. It's not clear whether Dotson knew the safe was in there or why he didn't try to open it himself, but the new owner did and found the cash. You want to? Here comes the expert, Mark Holliday.
Dotson is the auctioneer. He's
okay.
The guy who, you know, has a bank of units to sell and...
Okay, so he's the one that has the inventory of the units that need selling.
Right.
Okay,
right. So contracts with the storage place, and they.
So he's got the unit. He sells it for $500.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Inside there, there's a safe with $7.5 million, and it said soon after finding the money, the new owner of the unit got a call from an attorney representing the original owners of the unit.
Uh oh.
The people that the money actually belonged to. They offered the new owner $600,000 to return the cash. The two sides eventually settled at $1.2 million. Of course, if you're wondering, if you found that cash and it was legally yours, why would you return it for anything? Mm-hmm. Why not just keep the $7.5 million? Law would be on your side. Well, Dotson and his wife Laura summed it up in a YouTube video. They said the money was probably dirty. why else was that kind of cash stuffed in a storage unit and not in a bank? So what I my question then is, so $1.2 million in dirty money is okay.
Right.
7.5 is not.
How do they surmise that that's dirty, though?
I don't know. Maybe they got a call, you know, that they offer they couldn't refuse.
That's what I was going to say. Does it say who bought the unit?
It doesn't, but I mean, if you... gangsters out there, help me with this. If you're going to stash $7.5 million in cash, don't you keep the note paid up on the storage unit?
Don't you pay like a year in advance?
Yeah, so I got the money. You got the cash. Go ahead. I'll pay for this 5 years.
But is the point of the show that when someone purchases one of these units that you don't open anything up so that the new owners...
Mark, what's the deal?
Is that the way it
goes? Well, when they auction it off, you're allowed to look for 5 minutes in there, but you can't go inside. You can't open any boxes. So flashlights and good eyesight and kind of looking down in the corner and saying, well, that looks like that could be a lesson.
But you couldn't crack the safe in that period of time.
No.
But you got the safe, you do crack it, it's $7.5 million in cash, but you work out a deal with the previous owners who let the payment lapse on the storage unit where they had $7.5 million, and they settled for $1.2 million.
Mm-hmm. Look, they either had too many units they couldn't keep track of it, or maybe the Mafia Don got ill and this was his only secret until he died and they opened up the...
I don't know, but then somebody else, the word gets out that they got the money. And
crazy.
I mean, the fact that they said it's dirty money, so they'll take 1.2, but not 7.5.
Right. Well, the reason I was asking who bought it, because there's different personalities from these bidders and purchasers that some would be more inclined to say, you know, yeah, okay, we'll deal with you on it, and others would say, yeah, up yours.
Yeah, they did not talk about who bought
it. But maybe the original owner, maybe they were offed with it, you know what I mean? And perhaps they're no longer available to be breathing, so the storage unit is available. Somebody knew about it, but they had to wait for it to come up on the show. I mean, this could be a total scheme.
Oh, you've got a...
I went there. I went Nancy
movie.
Drew on you.
You've got a mystery movie coming up.
We got the music here. We got...
It's possible, though.
You think this music was playing in the background when the phone calls? Hey, I heard you got my storage unit. I left something in there. I need it back. Work a deal with you. You know, I mean, it's...
As long as it's not the horse's head in the bed.
That's right. You don't know if they were given the option of sleeping with the fishes or sleeping with the horse head. But there's a storage story of the day. So hopefully they'll put this out on one of the episodes and you'll find out more and bring us up to date. It's Mark Holliday. If you need to know anything about storage reality shows, he is your man. Of course, you can catch him here 24/7 and also, of course, on Thursday nights with Pete Rehm. And will y'all take a segment of Common Sense to talk about storage wars?
Probably not unless I bring it up. Okay. Now, that could be what we do.
Pete, let him bring it up. All right.
I would just like to thank you for reminding me to make my storage payment today.
Yes.
It's due.
You got $7.5 million in there?
No.
Okay.
But I've got Mardi Gras beads.
Well, that's almost as priceless. All right. As we're talking about money, we're also talking about the Cyber Monday and state collecting sales tax. Ronnie texted me, said, Sean, I'm very interested in this subject. We run about 300,000 in online sales a year in rural Baldwin County. I would like to see this money go to our community instead of fixing a pothole in Birmingham. But yeah, I doubt that'll work out that way. Well, there's a little bit of breakdown in how the money is allocated out there, but remember, always, Montgomery gets their cut, and then Montgomery uses that cut of money to elicit certain behaviors out of all 67 counties. You know, that's how they do it when they're the godfather. 8:45, we'll be right back. And thank you, Kane. Today, one of those days, says Dr. Bill, where it's cooling down all day. Low tonight in the 30s. We got in here. I got in here. It was like 58 or something. It's 43 now at our studios and cloudy skies out there. Temp keeps dropping. So be ready. By tonight, a possible real freeze for some of the outskirts of Mobile and Baldwin counties. If you're away from all that concrete in the metro. Hey, also, show note coming up for Midday Mobile today in the 1 o'clock hour. This is a show I wanted to do last week and the week before, but it's probably better time now as they are at least having those wildfires out in California, and all the discussion that came up over the last couple of weeks about forest management practices, mm-hmm. what had been done in the western states, and was it right or wrong? You know, President Trump talking about that it's been environmentalists and some of the laws that have led to these wildfires being worse than before. Well, a friend of mine, DJ Landrum from Landco Forestry, is going to join me at 1 o'clock today. He's going to be on the show with us, a man that has done this for a living, and we're going to talk about forest management practices here at home to some degree, but look at the different kind of forests out west and what could be done. You know, there are some issues. We've said it's tough to do some of the management practices that should be done in neighborhoods and suburbia out there, but what can be done on the bigger tracks? We'll talk about that coming up at 1 o'clock today. Get some real, you know, not just people spouting off with opinions, but somebody who has an education in this and does it every day. We'll get in that discussion coming up at 1 o'clock today. Plus, we'll talk more about what's going on at the border, as yesterday, what a big day there with migrants trying to get across the border, and Border Patrol having to repel those people. And, you know, people right now have run, as always, to their sides, and, oh, I'm on my side and this. But what do you, I mean, at this point, wherever you are politically, when a group approaches the border and is going to cross illegally right in front of you, what do you do? I mean, do you just say, well, come on in? You know, I mean, this is obvious as a, people get mad at Border Patrol. They are doing the job. You need to change, just like so many things. If you don't like it, you change the law. But the law right now, and the job given to the Border Patrol, is to patrol and control the border. And people, you know, calling them heartless or what, they're doing their job.
Yeah.
I mean, so if you don't like that and you want some other outcome, then you need another law. You don't blame the Border Patrol for showing up and doing their job.
I think that some people have a problem with how it's being conducted instead of just closing the border and having...
But if they're trying to run through...
I know.
What
I know.
Do you do?
I know, but...
Then it goes from policy to actual men and women on the front line having to do something.
But you can't help not bring in the emotional aspect of it, because a lot of these people... First of all, if you're trying to illegally cross into another country, of course you're breaking the law. And it doesn't mean you're the smartest person, especially if you're bringing children with you. But when children are involved, you would hope that there would be a way in which you can keep people out and not...
What do you do?
It's a struggle. It's an ongoing issue over there. Having worked in San Diego, I mean, dealing with Tijuana as well as the San Ysidro border, it's constant struggle with, you know, being in America and watching how people are trying to get over to the people who are... Because you have a lot of military there.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought when I saw the images of what was happening over there was... I sure hope that someone had a chit and they were able to be overseas, over across the border, because there could be some servicemen and women who are stuck over there.
Right. They said they shut it down both ways.
Yes. You know, so that was my mm-hmm. initial thought. A chit is like a permission slip. So
okay.
You're able
to. Yeah, I was wondering. Yeah, figured you'd let us know.
You're right. So you're able to go over. You have to get that from your command. But that was my first thought, thinking about all the military and those who may not be familiar with what was going on at that very moment.
All right, let's go to the phones, grab a couple of calls on this. But, yeah, we'll talk more about this in the noon hour of Midday Mobile today. John is in Mobile. John?
Good morning. Hey, I was just reading about a vote going on at the UN December 10th and 11th. They're going to do a migration pact, and it's a global kind of a thing where they are going to give over a lot of control to the UN over migration issues.
Yeah, do we have anything on that?
Not right now. I have heard a lot of talk about the UN lately, and of course Hillary Clinton made comments on migration in Europe over the weekend, but I know that's become an even larger topic than it was over the last few weeks, believe it or not.
All right, we'll look into it. Got to get the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, unlike others, I'll wait till I have information, because I don't have an opinion yet, because I don't have the information. Let's go to Fireball in Mobile next. Hey, Fireball.
Hey, John, y'all doing a fantastic job. But let me just say this. I know I'm hardcore. I'm an old man, 65 years and counting. But all these people, illegal immigrants, know that the United States is soft on illegal immigration, and they're going to come on every chance they get. We've got to stiffen up.
Yeah, I just
and do what we're supposed to do and stop them if by legal force we have to stop them.
Well, yeah, what I'm getting into, Fireball, is the kind of a nuanced discussion that hadn't happened yet, I don't think, is you can have a debate about policy in this country, but when I see, you know, people on social media casting aspersions on the Border Patrol agents, it's like I get so frustrated when people get mad at law enforcement. They're enforcing a law. The laws are made by the legislature, and people get mad at the enforcement agencies and not the legislature. Now, I may agree with the law as it stands, but if I didn't, I would get mad at the legislators that had voted for the law, not the Border Patrol agents that are doing the job that they're tasked with doing. That is what they're supposed to do, is protect the border. I mean, they're doing their job.
That's exactly right. It goes all the way back to the Vietnam War, Sean. Our soldiers were sent over there by our government to do what they were supposed to do, and our own citizens condemned them for doing what they were told to do.
Versus the lawmakers. Versus
the army.
Yeah, versus the lawmakers. You're so right. You are so right, Fireball. Appreciate the call. Thank you, man. Yeah, we'll talk about this more coming up at noon today on Midday Mobile. And let me send this text. But, Chris, you're asking a good question that reminds me to remind y'all. You will listen to the station on your smartphone. Tune In Radio is the app we recommend. Mm. It is a free download for Android or iPhone. It's really a pretty cool app, too, because you download TuneIn Radio. It's pretty fast. Doesn't take a bunch of space on your phone. And it lets you stream us online. When you open up TuneIn Radio, just go to local radio, and you'll find FM Talk 106.5, and mash the button for FM Talk 106.5. And what's really neat, too, is like I use it a bunch on Sunday mornings because I rarely sit still as it is, but I'm out around the yard and doing things and listening to Bill Finch's show. Well, if I get a text or a call, it pauses the audio. I can take the call, and then I can pick up the audio right where we left off with Bill Finch's show. So I like it. So Chris and others that want to download, this is a really good app. It's called Tune In Radio, and get it for your phone today.
And see, on Sunday mornings, you're out doing yard work listening to Tune In Radio. I'm sitting inside getting ready for a day of football, but I have my smart speaker. So I just ask my smart speaker, whether it's Alexa or Google Home or whoever you have in your house with you cohabitating, your smart speaker, just ask them to play FM Talk 106.5 on TuneIn Radio.
Okay, is that the phrase it pays?
That's exactly what you have to do. You have to say, hey, whatever your name is, whether it's Siri, Alexa, whoever, play FM Talk 106.5 on TuneIn Radio. And if you have the app set up there, bing, you're on.
Just did you say bing too?
Bada bing. There you go.
Or like bing.com, like the search engine.
Yeah, you can bing it too.
Say bam like Emerald.
All right. So yeah. So Tune In Radio, and of course I do appreciate that text, because it's been I've been remiss lately, and I made like one of my New Year's resolutions was to talk about that more. So I'm trying to make it up right here at the end. Tune In Radio is the app that lets you listen to us on your smartphone. The cool thing too is while you do that, you can also get our podcast through the TuneIn Radio app. So if you miss a show, you can go back and listen to it at your leisure.
Oh, getting fancy.
Right,
Robin Leach.
That's right. That's right. We're out of here. Be back tomorrow morning at 6. I'll be back for Midday Mobile today at noon. FMTalk1065.com. That's the website. Check out what news is trending, online opinion poll, questions, schedules, all that on our website.